Those of us who've had the privilege of growing up listening to the great accounts of God's creation are truly blessed. The power to command material things to come into existence out of nothing is beyond our ability to grasp. We truly, indeed, worship an awesome God. But the physical material of our world is not the only stuff that Jehovah created. The Bible tells us that there were at least four distinct things that He has created. We're going to briefly look at all four of those things this morning under the title of God Created. David did a wonderful job this morning of talking about creating, and especially life, and we'll talk about that in a moment. The first thing we want to look at that God created is the material of the universe. The stuff that the universe is made of. All of us have probably memorized Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In that verse is the first use of the Hebrew word bara, which means create. And create out of nothing. He barred the heavens and the earth. It came out of nothing. Jehovah brought the material of our universe, all the physical stuff of our universe, all the material of our universe, into existence out of nothing. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrew writer alludes to this in verse 3 in that chapter on faith, where he says in verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, the things that we see that are a part of our material physical universe did not come from other material physical things. He simply brought them into existence out of absolutely nothing. The psalmist in more than one place praises God for creating the heavens and the earth in Psalms 148 verse 5, in referring to Jehovah. He commanded and they were created. He commanded. That's all it took. He simply spoke them into existence. That's all He had to do. It would be like us, like me speaking into existence another pew. 1 second, there's not a pew. The next second, there's a fully formed pew. God is the one capable of doing that. He created the material of the universe out of nothing. And He created this earth, the prophet Isaiah says, to be inhabited. In Isaiah chapter 45, Isaiah says this in verse 18. He says, for thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is no other. He is the only one capable of bringing material things into existence out of absolutely nothing. And that's the Hebrew word bara. He created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says He's also the one that keeps the universe running. He didn't just create it and leave it alone. He keeps it running. The laws of science don't keep it running. Nature doesn't keep it running. He keeps it running. That's what Paul told the Colossian brother in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. That's how the world will end. He's just not going to let it run anymore. That'll be the end of the world. He's the one that keeps it running, and He's the one that's going to decide when it's time for it to stop. And when it does, the world will cease to exist, as 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us. So He created the material of the universe. The second thing the Bible says that He created, and these are all things that come from the Hebrew word bara, create out of nothing, is life. In Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read a few verses there that use this word life. Genesis chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 20. It's used several times in these verses. Verse 20 of Genesis chapter 1 says, "Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures." The word living is what I'm going to refer to. "And let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature," same word, "according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Here Jehovah created life. The Hebrew word, I believe, is pronounced chi. Life. And this is not life of plants. The Bible says the life that plants have and the life that animals have are two very distinct things. They are not the same life. Here, things are said to be living, not like plants live, but these are living creatures, animals, we might say. And these creatures, these living things, are independent, they're conscious, and they have willful movement. All things that plants do not possess. So this is distinct. This is a distinct type of life. And then when it's put with the word creature, living creature, those are two Hebrew words that are put together. The word creature there comes from the Hebrew word nephesh, which typically translated soul. So there would be absolutely nothing wrong with translating these, that the waters abound with an abundance of living souls. It's exactly the same word. Living souls. And that's typically how it's translated, is the word soul. Leviticus 17:11, that verse that talks about the life of the flesh is in the blood, that talks about the word soul. Same word. The life of the flesh is in the blood. This word, though, brings with it the idea of awareness. Animals are aware in ways plants are not. They're two very distinct types of life. And of course, when we read the Genesis account in Genesis 1 and 2, we see that what is supposed to be food for man and animal? Plants. Man didn't start out any animals, did he? No, he did not. That was only after. So this word, these two words, living creature, is exactly the same expression used for man. Exactly the same expression in Hebrew. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living," New King James says, "being, soul, creature." Exact same expression. So this life that God created for us is exactly the same life He gave animals. That's exactly the same expression. So in that respect, we share something with animals we do not share with plants. So when God created this life, this nephesh, this consciousness, this awareness, He gave us something that we share with animals, that we do not share with plants. And God created this. Created it. That's the word bara again in Hebrew. And it's extremely important. Extremely important that we understand the difference between those two things. This life, the Bible says, comes from God. In other words, He's the one that gives life. And this life, the Bible says, also comes to an end. This Hebrew word nephesh will end someday. God gave us life, but it's going to end. In Psalm 63, verse 4, the psalmist refers to the ending of this type of life. Psalm 63, verse 4. Psalm 63, verse 4 says, "Thus I will bless you while I live," while I nefesh. "While I live, I will lift up my hands in your name, because I will not always live." And there's going to be one day when this life is gone, and I'm no longer going to be a living creature, a living soul. That will end someday. The Bible talks about 70 years. Some of us live longer than that, some of us don't. But God created that life, and one day it will end. In a few pages over in the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer there tells us in chapter 3, verse 12, the following. Chapter 3, verse 12. "I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives." Same word that's used for animals, cattle, so forth. Animal life ends. It comes to an end. Whether it's our pets or cattle or whatever, that life comes to an end. But God is said to have created it. The Hebrew word bara. Created it out of nothing. That's where the word bara, or that's what it tells us. Now, the third thing that the Bible says that He created, uses again the word bara, is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. The Bible says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them." Now, this is something that God created very different than any other living creature. He created man, humanity, that's the word that we get Adam from. Adam basically has the idea of humanity and mankind. That's what the word Adam basically means. We're made in the image of God. Plants are not made in the image of God. Animals are not made in the image of God. But we are created in the image of God. Same word, bara. In the image of God. The Hebrew word is salim. We're made in God's image. And this is what sets us apart from all other life. Animals are not made in God's image. They're not made in God's image. He didn't create them in God's image. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? Well, that's hours and hours of discussion about being made in the image of God. Here's a few things that it means. These are the ways in which people resemble God. The idea of image is something that is like something else, a pattern like something else. We're made in the image of God in His moral and spiritual likeness. His moral and spiritual likeness. What does that mean? Man can reason and make decisions. Man can reason and make decisions. Plants and animals cannot do that. We're made in God's image. Man is a moral being. Plants don't have morals. Animals don't have morals. They don't have any idea what a moral code is. That means we can understand that there's a right and a wrong. That doing this is right, doing that is wrong. Plants and animals can't make those distinctions. But we're made in the image of God, therefore we can. We're created in His image. That means we are capable of doing that. People have the capacity for language. Plants and animals don't in that sense. They don't have the type of language that we're capable of having. Man possesses creativity. In other words, plants and animals can't think abstractly. We can imagine things. We can imagine things in our minds and then we can produce things, whether it's a sculpture, a painting, a song, whatever. Plants and animals are not capable of doing that. They don't have that
ability.
We can have fellowship with our Creator. We don't have to have fellowship with our Creator, but we can choose to have it. Why? Because we're made in the image of God, unlike any other created thing. We're created in God's image. So we can have fellowship with Him. God made us, created us, a worshiping being. Plants and animals don't worship. They're incapable of worshiping. Because they're not made in God's image. We are. So we're worshiping beings. And the reason for all of that is that He's given us an eternal spirit. Something never said to have been given to plants and animals. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, that prophet tells us about that very thing. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, the verse says, "The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him." There we have been given this spirit. This spirit. And we read in a number of other places talk about the fact that that spirit is eternal. It doesn't die when our life leaves us. When our nefesh leaves us, we still have an eternal spirit. And a spirit, the Bible says, will live somewhere forever. It's not extinguished. It's not destroyed. It lives somewhere forever. The reason for that is because the Bible says we're the offspring of God. Plants and animals aren't the offspring of God. We are the only created things said to be the offspring of God. In Paul's great lesson on Mars Hill in Acts 17, he refers to this in verse 29. He says, "Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising." It says, we are His offspring. Again, we're made in His image. We're made in His image. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 42, in a really remarkable passage, says in verse 5, Isaiah 42, verse 5, "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it." There's a single verse that talks about just about everything He's created in that one verse. He says He gave to us spirit, an eternal spirit. This is something that God continues to create. Did creation end on day six? Well, the material universe did. But God's been creating ever since. Every time a baby comes into the world, God has created something. Because He gives that baby an eternal spirit. An eternal spirit. He creates them. In Psalm 102, He alludes to this in verse 18. It's a tremendous verse. Psalms 102, verse 18. The psalmist says, "This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." Every new generation is created. Every baby that comes into the world has been created with an eternal spirit. And that baby's spirit is made in the image of God. That's what sets us apart from all other living creatures. Yes, we're going to die, just like plants and animals do, but The difference is we're made in the image of God and we've been given an eternal spirit that will live somewhere forever. Which leads us to the fourth thing the Bible says that God creates. And this, of course, determines where our eternal spirit will spend that eternity. The Bible says that there's a spiritual creation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul tells us about this new creation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. New creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's the fourth thing that he has created. Those people who have been reconciled. That section in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about being reconciled to God. That's what Christ does for us. He reconciles us to God. Those people who have been reconciled who are in Christ are said to be a new creation. Not an old one, not a reshaped one or a reformed one, but a new creation. This is called a new life. A new life. In Romans chapter 6, I know you know this passage well. In Romans chapter 6, Paul writes, verses 3 and 4, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. It's a new life. We are a new creation. We're a new creation. Paul also told the same thing to the church in Colossae in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. When he says, you have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We are new. We're a new man. Not physically new, but we're a new spiritual creation. And it's that new spiritual creation that determines our destiny. And this new self, this new creation, the Bible says, is created in the likeness of God. A very similar term that's used way back in Genesis. In Ephesians chapter 4, this is where Paul uses that expression. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Created according to God. We are a new creation. Those who come up out of the waters of baptism are a new spiritual creation. We are different than we were before. We're different. And that person is the one that Paul says in Ephesians 2:10 is created for good works. Where to be people who participate in, actively involved in, good works. Those are at least four things the Bible says God created. He created the material universe out of nothing. He created life, the type of life that we have that one day ends. He's created us with an eternal spirit, which separates us from plants and animals and every other living thing. An eternal spirit that will live somewhere forever. And we can be, if we choose to be, created a new spiritual creation, a new life, a new creature, if you will. One who has placed their faith in Christ, who has chosen to turn their life over to Christ, turning away from all their own selfish desires and wants and opinions. Then they have made a public confession that their life is going to be lived for the Lord, for the Messiah. And then they are baptized, immersed, for the specific reason to have their sins forgiven. The Bible says they are now a new spiritual creation, created for good works. We have and worship a wonderful Creator because He's made it possible for us to live with Him forever in heaven. But it's our choice. Everyone has an eternal spirit, and it's their choice as to where that spirit will spend eternity, because the Bible says there are only two destinies. The Bible says those who choose the broad path, the easy path, the wide path, their end is everlasting destruction. But for those who choose the narrow path, it's everlasting life. But it's a choice. But remember, that eternal spirit God created. And when we first became alive, we had an eternal spirit and will have throughout eternity. Praise God for it. This morning, if you need to have that desire, and you have that desire to become a new creature, a new man, put off the old one, then we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing this invitation song.